The word of God given to us today is Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. I will now read the word of God. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead, then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except to hold on to what you have until I come. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations, that one will rule them with an iron scepter, and will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Today is the last Sunday of this year. The more we think, the more we are terrible and full of flaws. Yet our God has been with us throughout the year. Let's give a round of an applause of appreciation and praise to our Trinity God. And how about we give another round of applause for those who have served in various ushering teams so that we can worship in peace. This year's slogan of our church was Consider, based on Matthew chapter 6, verse 28. The word consider, in Greek, is katamanthano, and it means to learn, to observe, and to ponder. For example, birds do not plant the seeds in spring for themselves to eat, nor do they harvest food to stack up for the next year. Yet you can see that God feeds and takes care of them. No matter how much parents worry and care about their children's heights, that will not make the children grow. But if you see closely, you realize that God allows our children to grow as much as they need to grow. The wildflowers out in the field are dazzling, whether or not if anyone is watching it. Such doings of God makes us think deeper and deeper. God, who takes care of the birds and lilies that are his mere creations, will definitely take care of our children as well. And so Jesus gave orders as follows. Matthew chapter 6, verse 36. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If we depend our everything on God and seek for his kingdom and justice, God, who loves us so dearly, will take care of us. That is what belief is about. But humans tend to think the very opposite. If God provides us first with food, drinks, and clothes, or all these things as it says in the Bible, only then do we vow that we will seek for God's kingdom and justice. That is not belief, but a deal. So the order for a true belief should always be God's kingdom and justice, and then all these things. A person who tries to reverse the order should be considered a man who is seeking to deal with God, not a man of faith. If we look back at our lives, we have to acknowledge that it is God who protects us, and not all these things. If we set all these things as our goals, we will never be able to start a new year in a true sense. It will be a mere change of number from 2013 to 2014. But if we set God as our goal of life, every January 1st, will be a new year, literally. We are well aware that we should set God as our top priority of life. However, all these things seem to be better most of the times due to our short-sightedness, desires, or secular values that seduces us to think that what you see is what you get. Thyatira Church worshipped God cordially. But the church also sought after all these things as well. Verse 19 proves this as follows. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. The word that defines the English word "and" in Greek is kai. This term kai often functions to make the word that comes before it to describe the one that comes after it. If we look into verse 2 of chapter 2, Jesus told the church of Ephesus that he knows your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. This does not mean he acknowledged three different actions of deeds, hard work, and perseverance. The hard work and perseverance were both counted as deeds. Also, if you see in John chapter 4, Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman who came out to draw water from the well at noon and said that true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. Here, in the Spirit and in truth means in the Spirit, in other words, in truth. Worshipping in the Spirit means you are worshipping in the truth. So the deeds in verse 19 refers to love, faith, service, and perseverance that comes after it. And it was the church of Thyatira that did more deeds later than at first. The Thyatira church had the service and perseverance that Ephesus church was lauded for. But it also had love, which Ephesus church had been rebuked for forsaking. They also had faith with the church of Pergamum, which the church of Pergamum was acknowledged for. These virtues of faith did not fade away, but only became deeper than from the beginning. In many cases, the love, faith, service, and perseverance tends to fade away as time passes. But those of the Thyatira Church only became deeper and clearer as time went on. And for that reason, a church in the least known and smallest city among the seven churches that have received letters from the Christ received the longest letter and the biggest compliment. However, Thyatira Church did not only receive compliments. Verse 20 tells us, "Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols." The reason why the Lord had rebuked the Thyatira Church was because the church tolerated Jezebel to earn all these things. We do not know for sure who this woman named Jezebel is. Some believe her to be the famous priestess named Sabathi, who encouraged people to believe in superstitions and seduced them. But if this is right, then it would not have been written in the Bible that she calls herself a prophet. Jezebel was someone from inside the church community, not from the outside. Some others believe that Jezebel might be Lydia, the dealer of purple cloth from Thyatira, who was mentioned in Acts chapter 16. They believe that Lydia came back to Thyatira and had manipulated the people at church in order to increase her wealth and expand her business. If Lydia heard this from heaven above, she would have felt very offended. The reason why the female prophet who tore down the people of Thyatira Church was called Jezebel was probably because her deeds resembled those of Jezebel from the Old Testament. Jezebel was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidonians, and was queen to the most infamous king Ahab of northern Israel. She had induced her husband, King Ahab, to build a temple for Baal in Samaria. Inside the temple, she built an altar for Baal and a figure of goddess Asherah, and made people worship him, worship them. The scale was so big it turned other idol worshiping into a joke. Jezebel was also not so hesitant in killing the prophets of God. She also had 450 Baal prophets and 400 Asherah prophets that ate with her at her table. Nurturing 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah is not an easy task. They need food, drinks, and places to stay. They also need a temple where they can practice their religion and spaces for people who worked at the temple. Jezebel did all these in the land where people of God resided. Near the palace of Samaria where King Ahab lived was a vineyard of Naboth. King Ahab wanted to make it his vegetable garden and suggested Naboth that he will provide a better vineyard or pay a decent amount of money for the land. But Naboth refused to do so because the land was passed down to him from his ancestors and selling it would be against God's will. When his offer was turned down, King Ahab felt sick, refusing to eat or drink. Upon hearing her husband's story, Jezebel sneered at him, asking if he was a true leader of Israel, and promised him to give Naboth's vineyard as a present. She wrote a letter in the king's name, sealed it with the king's seal, and sent it to the elderly and nobles of the town where Naboth lived in. She wrote that they should hire a couple of men to falsely testify that Naboth had committed blasphemy and cursed the king, and should stone Naboth to death. And so King Ahab was able to claim Naboth's vineyard. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25 testifies the reason why King Ahab committed so much misdeeds in the eyes of God as follows. There was never anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. To urge means to allure or to seduce. In the eyes of God, behind the misdeeds of King Ahab was the inducing of Jezebel. She brought the Sidonian god Baal and Asherah into Israel when she married Ahab. She constructed their temples and made the sons and daughters of Israel to worship idols. She slandered Naboth and stole his vineyard. Considering all these, she is a person not ashamed of committing immorality or of using tricks in order to achieve her goals. The misdeeds of Jezebel that happened at the time of Prophet Elijah were seen in the church of Thyatira 950 years later. Let me read verse 20 again. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. Just like Queen Jezebel brought Sidonian gods into Israel and lured King Ahab to commit sins, self-prophet Jezebel also brought things that should not exist even outside the church, inside the community, and made the people of Thyatira to commit adultery and eat the foods sacrificed to idols. As I have told you last week, it was hard for non-guild members to engage in transactions in Thyatira, where they had a very strong merchant guild system. Their get-togethers were usually held at the temple, and it started with rituals for the idols. The rituals in the Old Testament included those that sacrificed burnt offerings, but there were none alike in ancient Greece. Most of the times, they burnt only a part of the animal sacrifice, and sometimes even only burnt the hairs they cut off from the forehead of the sacrifice. The rest they shared and ate. Then they slept with the priestesses at the temple. All these were considered a norm. There were some who participated in such misdeeds in the Church of Thyatira. But the problem was the one who encouraged such acts was within the church community. In other words, the reason why Thyatira church was condemned by Jesus was not because they have fallen by the persecution from the outside, but have yielded themselves to the temptation from the inside. the reason why a successful person falls at the blink of an eye. Why a peaceful family falls apart with distrust. Why a blue chip company turns into a delinquent company. Why a church that was once a sound and healthy role model turns into an ill one. The reasons all lie within. When a society or a country falls, the problems usually are due to internal corruptions rather than external attacks. That is why we need to take care of our inside rather than our external selves. Let me read verses 21 through 23. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. The Lord gave Jezebel time to repent, but she missed her chance. The haystacks need to be dried while the sun is out, and the metals need to be shaped while it's hot. Anyone who realizes they're not going in the right direction, both in life and in religion, should quickly turn their directions, because that is the chance. If you lose the chance, then you'll face a greater difficulty. Jezebel did not repent on her adultery or eating of food sacrificed to the idols. Jesus said that he will cast her on a bed. The term kline, which means bed, also means feast. Kline means feast in the text, then it would mean that God would forbid Jezebel from attending another banquet ever again by throwing her onto the feast table. If it means bed, then it would mean that she will be bound to a sick bed, never again be able to rise on her own feet. He also says that those who follow Jezebel's footsteps will also experience the same result unless they repent. Jesus Christ is also known for looking into the minds and hearts of people. Minds mean thoughts, and hearts mean feelings. The reason why we need to think properly and manage our feelings is because they depict our lives, and we will be judged by God through the life we have lived. It's not the words that we speak which show who we are, but it's our lives. Words whispered through our lives speak louder than yelling out words from our mouths, because physical words can only vibrate the air and then disappear. But the words of life will shake the lives of others and make another vibration. the Lord promised two things for the people who walk in the right path instead of following Jezebel. The first promise is written in verses 26 to 27. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. He has promised to give authority. This authority belongs to Jesus Christ himself. The Lord rules over the world, or at times dashes them. To rule over means that the shepherd raises sheep, and to dash means to shatter. Jesus rules over us as if a shepherd raises his sheep. But if you do not repent, he would desert you as potters break their work if it is cracked. The second promise is shown in verse 28. I will also give him the morning star. There are two meanings to the morning star. First is the promise of resurrection. One day in the Bible does not mean from sunrise to sunrise, but from sunset to sunset. So Genesis also explains this. There was evening and there was morning. As the writer of Psalm confesses, weeping may stay for the night. When you encounter the dark night of your life, many a times you do not know what to do or where to go. But the morning will eventually come. No matter how cleverly Jezebel tempts you, or threatens you to join guilds, the Lord will make your life shine brightly as long as you keep your love, faith, service, and perseverance. Second, it is the promise of giving Jesus Christ himself. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, Jesus says as follows, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. What do you really need most as you live your life? Is it more money than other people have? Is it better education than others have received? Or is it better promotion than others? Or is it better skills or abilities? But aren't you well aware that they are only momentary and relative? These things will not change our lives fundamentally. Today is the last Sunday of 2013. How did you spend this year? How have your lives been? Was your life so dark to the point where you cannot figure out if you are standing in mud or in dry ground? Have you walked through the endless tunnel of frustration and disappointment? Or have you been shunned out and suffered a loss because you did not tolerate Jezebel, but walked in the right path? Then think carefully, and then look closely. Didn't our Lord, the morning star, shine upon us, especially at the turning point of your life? Wasn't it Him that you were able to make it this far because He, the morning star, was with us? Do we want to begin 2014 differently from other New Years? Then let's think about God who feeds the birds in the air that do not plant nor harvest. Now, let's think about the lilies in the field that do not work nor weave. Above all, let's put God, who knows everything, as our top priority of life. Then the Lord, the morning star, will accompany us and let us begin a dazzling new year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to this last Sunday of 2013. We started 2013 with the slogan, Consider. We began the year with a determination to put you on our top priority as we thought about God who feeds the birds in the air and raises the lilies in the field. However, we have been attached to all these things following Jezebel's way and have frequently pushed you aside, sometimes to a point where we did not even think about you. Please forgive us our sins and mistakes. Please keep an eye on our thoughts and feelings, and let us make ourselves stand upright before you and go forward toward the goal, God. This world is full of Jezebel's values. We are sometimes considered behind time and inflexible, but please let us be your children who hold on to you tight, instead of protecting our desires or gains. And let us be with you, Lord, the morning star, throughout 2014. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.